Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, and it is Monday morning. That means it is time to check in with our friend Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your all of the listeners out there. It's a sunshiny day. It's hard for me to say sunshiny day.
It's still a little cloudy where I am over here at the studios, but it's still a nice day, you know? And it's supposed to warm up a little bit today. So
why won't that be nice? I hope it gets out there to the East Coast and Northeast and everything. That was kind of interesting, all that snow. We really dodged a bullet, but be that as it may, we're thankful to the Lord. We're here for another day
to
talk about Him.
Absolutely, and certainly remembering in our prayers those who are affected by all of the snow out east.
Oh yeah, I have to tell you, my brother down in Memphis, they had a half an inch of snow, and Richard, he's the oldest brother, he said he lives in the land of crazy drivers and Elvis impersonators in Memphis, and he said they had maybe half an inch of snow and they didn't know what to do down there. So I said, well, so he sat out on his porch and watched people like, what do we do with this? So, but that's a whole other subject, but it was kind of interesting. Some people just aren't used to it in the South when they get hit like that.
Sure. Yeah, I remember my days in Texas when I lived in Central Texas, and we had snow there on Easter Saturday one year, and it probably wasn't even a half an inch. But if we would have gotten much more than that, it probably would have immobilized the whole community. They didn't have snow plows and salt trucks and things like that really in abundance there, because they don't get that much snow there.
No, they sure don't. Well, I've got a couple of topics here just to bring our listeners up. And in fact, one of them involves a Missouri couple. I don't know if you've talked about the latest case in Missouri about frozen embryos. I don't know if you, have you discussed anything like that about...
Not recently.
Are you familiar with that case at all?
I've read about a few cases. I haven't read about any recently.
Yeah, this is just kind of the ongoing increase of... embryo custody battles that are on the rise. Years ago, I wrote a paper on this and, sort of predicted this was going to happen, because you have over 600,000 of these unclaimed frozen human beings in minus 360 degrees Fahrenheit liquid nitrogen. And so this couple here, they have leftover embryos from McQueen. Their names are McQueen and Gadberry, and this is public information. They used IVF. They have twin boys. Missouri County Court said you jointly owned the remaining embryos. But she wants to have more children, and her husband says, no, I want the embryos destroyed. And what's interesting about this is that the Court of Appeals in the state of Missouri, in Jefferson City, said that the embryos are living beings and should not be destroyed. And, this has been all supported, of course, by the Missouri Right to Life, a Chicago-based pro-life attorneys, the Thomas More Society. They're involved with this group, and also one that was happened way out in Los Angeles, which I think the public has read about, is Sophia Vergara and her ex-boyfriend, Nicholas Loeb. And, he wanted custody of the frozen embryo. So what's happening now in Missouri and out in California, which probably won't go very far in that state, are requesting personhood status for frozen embryos, because there really is no U.S. jurisdiction that treats embryos as persons are entities entitled to constitutional protection. And that, of course, goes back to the Roe v. Wade, which is actually already passed us, but in terms of those court decisions, just back a few days ago here in January. So this is one of those areas that people have to be kind of tuned into when I talk to couples who are interested in doing IVF. And the Missouri Synod has no official position on this except for surrogacy, that is using somebody else's wombs, somebody else's eggs, but they do caution people getting into it because of this issue of the spare frozen embryos, these human beings, these persons that we certainly would say are part of the biblical witness of God's design, that they are human beings. So that's one case. And then the other issue that the Journal of the American Medical Association here in the United States now is starting to review physician-assisted. Now, they turned it from physician-assisted suicide. They've softened the term, much like we've discussed and was brought up on his family, gender dysphoria, regarding some more feelings. I don't feel comfortable in my body. This has now been changed to physician-assisted dying. And so the American Medical Association is starting to take a look at this, and they believe that this will probably, even though it's in five states now, will probably catch on because of the support it's getting back from various people, although many physicians, too, are fighting back. But they keep going back to this Brittany Maynard case, of course, that we all well know, where she went up to Oregon, stayed there, and then, of course, drank the death cocktail and committed physician-assisted suicide. And then the blessed Maggie Carner, of course, came out shortly thereafter with her video testifying to life in Christ, a baptized Christian, who when you die in Christ and have the great hope and certainty of the resurrection to eternal life. So once again, all of these things keep coming back. I know we haven't talked about that for a while, but these issues tend to resurface. And I think talking with some of my family actually last night about a couple of these, the concern, of course, is what are our young kids, and you have children, what are they going to be facing when they get into hospitals? Because hospitals always ask you, do you have a living will or a health care directive that says anything about your autonomy? Because this whole issue of, they're pushing this issue of autonomy. That's going to be where it's going, that you are a law unto yourself. So these are two of the latest sorts of things that have raised their head to bring our attention to, what does it mean to be human and live a life of Christ in this world?
Mm-hmm. That always seems that our conversations always seem to come back to that. What does it mean to be a human and a Christian in this world?
Well, it does. And I guess that the stuff that we talked about with the two doctors this past week, and they have certainly brought that up. But it also came to the point about family. I mean, I remember them mentioning about the family strength and how this whole issue, which I thought was one of the strong points of the conversation, how this whole issue of transgenderism and trying to be something that you're not really doesn't strengthen the family, but it destroys the family. And we can see the same thing happening in all these other cases of embryo adoption, physician-assisted suicide, people trying to enhance themselves. I mean, I even have cases and read things where teenagers in the greatest, between the ages of 17 and 25, the most plastic surgeries are done between those ages, and most of them are done on late teens and early young adults, and it involves primarily the nose, the chin, and believe it or not, calf muscles. And sometimes families, they get in big arguments over this. You mean you don't like the way we made you? So All of this issue comes back to, from a Christian viewpoint, the family and the strength that the family has within itself, but also the strength that the family has within the baptized family of Christ. You know, we live in a rather lonely world. It's a rather upside-down world, and people don't talk over the fence like they used to. There's a lot of things that don't happen, and certainly our baptismal identity provides us with a family that does not express loneliness, but togetherness. And so within that context, I think, once again, from our Lutheran viewpoint here on His Time, this is kind of where I like to emphasize for people who are wondering about all of this stuff, that this is kind of where we go, because this is being honest and to the biblical witness we have before us.
As I realized in our conversation this past week on Faith and Families, we talked about transgender issues and children, youth, with the physicians, both from the American College of Pediatricians and the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. I just learned that the conversation needed to be longer than an hour, that's for sure, in order to really address the questions and the issues that really surround this whole topic. it's I think something that perhaps we'll have to revisit again in the future, just to be able to answer those questions. I know for a parent who, you know, for parents who face a child who is confused or has questions about their identity, that can be very disconcerting, very uncomfortable, but we also want to help equip them so they can provide answers that are found in God's Word, and so that they can be faithful in their vocations as parents.
Yeah, I one statement that really stuck with me, and I don't remember which physician, might have Dr. Kukel, I don't know if I'm pronouncing her word correctly, but I think she ended there saying, you know, let's not panic over this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had brought up the old phrase years ago, the word tomboy, where people weren't panicking, because she senses that there could be some panic out there. People like, well, gee, we got some girls that want to work on cars and want to play basketball. My grandson actually has wrestled a couple of girls. And so some people say, what's going on here? But I think we do have to be very broad in our looking and thinking and reading on this. Before we panic and deal with this individually, but to be informed, to be sure, about the biblical witness and what's happening in the world. But I think that, you know, let's not panic on all of these things we're talking about, but to be informed and to get into the scriptures so that when people talk about this, we do have something to say about the biblical witness, about God's design, you know, in terms of all of his creatures and our stewardship of body and soul.
Mm-hmm. You're right. It does come back to stewardship, doesn't it? That everything that we have, our bodies, everything is entrusted to us. And so this is really about stewardship and returning thanks to God with what he has given us.
Well, it is. That's a good point, because when, you know, we get gifts, we have, I'm sure you have some antiques and we have some antiques from our parents and so forth. And these are all gifts, and the gifts you get, you know, this past year, Christmas or birthdays or anniversaries, you take care of those gifts. You cherish those gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize sometimes people have a lot of heartburn over the gift language, but clearly gift is probably a vernacular way to say grace, where we get this undeserved love from God when he took on human flesh and became one of us, and the whole story there is something that we need to constantly review and repeat and reread, and then look at what God has given to us, especially in our conversation, without being grinding our axe, whether mm-hmm. it's in the pulpit or with other friends.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. Always good conversation. Look forward to next Monday.
Okay. God's peace to you and your listeners, Andy. Bye-bye.
Thank you to you as well. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.